Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska, Sports Director for Civic Media. Right now, we're airing a Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks game over the air, but due to our rights agreements, we're not able to stream those games here. Civic Media might be a newer company, but we are dedicated to providing the best in sports coverage. Our team has decades of experience covering sports right here in Wisconsin. We've got Mike Clements, who covers our state's biggest teams on location and does daily updates on all of our Civic Media stations statewide. Many of our stations have local reporters dedicated to teams in their area, covering their community dozens or even hundreds of times each year. No matter where you're at in Wisconsin, we are committed to covering sports, especially in the communities that our stations serve. And we put all of our local coverage right here on our stream, so you can go ahead and grab the free Civic Media app so you never miss a game at civicmedia.us/app. You can find the game you're looking for over the air, or you can stay tuned right here on the stream for more news, talk, and conversation. Thank you for listening to Civic Media from all of us here on the sports team.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsinites overwhelmingly voted yes on a record number of school funding measures, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That means people across the state are willing to increase their own taxes to fund their schools. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Voters favored a record number, 169 referendums, authorizing a record total of $4.4 billion in new funding for 145 districts. Denise Gomer-Hutchison with the Wisconsin Public Education Network says districts are being forced to take their needs to the ballot box to fund gaps between prioritizing students and overdue bills.
The first responsibility of our public schools across the state is to educate children and to take care of the kids and the families that they serve every single day. So that means any available funds that public schools have, they put towards educating children. And so if that means a boiler has to be patched rather than replaced, that's what they're going to do.
Almost half of the state's 421 school districts passed a referendum in April or November. Hutchison blames the state for not adequately funding school priorities, from building maintenance to student mental health services. Regardless of whether taxpayers have children in public schools, she says the focus should be on providing every Wisconsin student with a quality education.
I want their experience in public schools to be as awesome as my 25 and 26 year olds were.
The study found factors like inflation outpacing the state allocated per student revenue limits, the loss of pandemic aid, and staff competition in tight labor markets, all factors that contributed to the record number of referendums. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Wisconsin goes up in the rankings. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Badgers, have two home games coming up this Saturday at noon against Chicago State. And then next week, Tuesday night, they take on Michigan. The Badgers now rank 15th in the nation after winning the Greenbrier tournament in Orlando over the weekend. The Marquette Golden Eagles learn that they're now number 10th ranked in the nation. They'll host Stonehill tomorrow night in Milwaukee, the tip-off time 8 o'clock. NBA, the Bucks in Miami tonight against the Heat. The Bucks have won four in a row. NFL, Packers holding practice for their game on Thanksgiving this Thursday night against the Miami Dolphins. Kickoff at 7:20, TV coverage on NBC. And then Friday at 11 a.m., more football. It's the Badgers against the Minnesota Gophers at Camp Randall Stadium.
Rivalry games, you throw records out the window. You throw sometimes even the home field advantage out the window. It comes down to who wants it more. And anybody that can't get up for that doesn't belong to either one of these places.
That's Badgers head football coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media is your spot for sports. From updates on your favorite teams, live broadcasts of the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, and Bucks, and local sports coverage in your community, we've got everything you need. Find a station near you at civicmedia.us or download the free app today. We'll have more news and talk coming up here on Civic Media's stream.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Thanks for listening. Your spot for local sports coverage is Civic Media.
Hey, welcome back into the Earl Ingram Show on this Tuesday morning, 6 minutes after 9 o'clock right now. Hope you're having a good day. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. He will be back on Monday. Hope you're having a good day so far. If you want to join us on the phone, feel free. The phone number is 855-752-4842. And today we've been discussing several topics. The second Bill of Rights, also known as the Economic Bill of Rights, put forth by FDR back in 1944. And we touched on citizenship that we discussed yesterday. And we've also been discussing these tariffs that were announced last night by the incoming president, Trump, who says he's going to add a 25% tariff to all goods coming in from Mexico and Canada, and an additional 10% on items coming from China, in addition to whatever may be on them now. Tariffs are on a number of Chinese products, so there will be an additional 10% on those products. And of course, that will lead to massive inflation, right? If all of a sudden we have to start paying an additional 25% for everything, it's going to cause a serious problem with inflation. The as I mentioned just before the break, the nations that will be affected by the tariff plans are likely to retaliate with tariffs of their own on United States goods. And that, of course, will slow down exports from the United States, slowing down the economy even further beyond what the tariffs will cause. Also, keep in mind that one of the business sectors that would be most affected by the tariffs is the auto industry. Several manufacturers have cars that are built on both sides of the border. In fact, currently, vehicles can move across North American borders several times before they are completed. So an engine may be built on one side of the border, go across the border where it's put onto a chassis, which may come back across the border so that the body can be added to the vehicle. And with some vehicles, they can go back and forth across the border several times before they're completed. Adding 25% to each crossing could add thousands of dollars to the price of those vehicles. That's obviously inflationary, right? Inflation causing. So even though we've had average inflation over the past year or so, around 2.5%, this is going to be a whole other ball game once we all have to start paying a lot more for goods and services. And if you have an opinion on that, I'd like to hear what you have to say. Feel free to call in 855-752-4842. There are a couple of other topics I'd like to get to today before we wrap things up. And we know that in Wisconsin, it's been one of the bellwether states. It's been one of the battleground states for several election cycles now, right? Sometimes it's the closest state as far as voting. And in fact, it looks like Wisconsin may have been the closest again in this election just 3 weeks ago today. In the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, there is an article published by Craig Gilbert. And he mentions here, he talks about how small voting shifts made Wisconsin the closest state in the nation this time around. He says here that the story of the 2024 election map in Wisconsin is a story of small shifts and marginal trend lines. The red trending, small towns, continued to get even more red. And the blue trending, suburbs, got slightly bluer. And blue cities, on average, got a little less blue. These were not head-snapping changes. This was not a wave election here. In fact, no Wisconsin presidential election in decades has seen smaller changes in the state's political geography. And no battleground state saw smaller voting shifts than Wisconsin did in 2024. More than almost anywhere else in America, Wisconsin was swing resistant in this election, which made it the closest state in the nation. But because this state is so evenly divided, these modest changes had a very big effect, flipping Wisconsin from blue to red and carrying Donald Trump to victory. So here's a closer look at how Wisconsin's 72 counties and more than 1,800 communities voted this fall, and the contributions they made to a narrow Trump victory in 2024, 4 years after a narrow Trump defeat in 2020, and 8 years after Trump's first narrow victory in 2016. So what changed this time? Well, statewide, the net shift was about 50,000 votes from Trump's defeat by about 21,000 votes in 2020 to his victory by about 29,000 votes in 2024. In percentage terms, the GOP gain was 1.5 points, the difference between losing by 6-tenths of a point last time to winning by 9-tenths of a point this time. But these shifts were not uniform across the state. Around 1,300 of Wisconsin's cities, towns, and villages got more red in 2024, while more than 500 got bluer. So here's what those shifts look like across the state's urban, suburban, and rural landscapes. Craig Gilbert goes on and breaks this down for us. Before I give you that breakdown, I want to go back to the phone lines. We have Jim from Eden on the phone. Good morning, Jim. What do you have for us today? Thank you for calling in. Jim, are you there?
Yes. Hello, Stu. Thank you.
Hello. Mm-hmm. What do you have for us today?
I was just going to say that, the reason, big reason that Trump won, was because of inflation the last 4 years. And, just going to the grocery stores and seeing the prices. And so, you shouldn't be concerned about Trump increasing inflation, because the Republicans are going to lose if we get a huge continuation of inflation, you know, do you see my point? It's really, that's what was the reason that Joe Biden and the Democrats lost, was because of inflation.
And so you are saying that it's okay for us to have to pay an additional 25% for these tariffs now, because the public will be so disappointed in Donald Trump that a Democrat will win next time. Is that your point?
Definitely. If he, you know, there's no way his thought is to, oh, I'm going to increase inflation. He just saw what happened, you know, with when inflation was so terrible. You know, why would he be such an idiot to continue that? The very thing that got him into the office was inflation. He's not that dummy, that kind of a dummy that he's going to continue inflation, because he knows the Republicans will hate him if he's going to continue this inflation, right?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine Republicans hating him as much as they love him and will do anything for him at this time. But if that's true, if what you are saying is true, if by having to pay an additional 25% and going through possibly a recession with huge inflation over the next 4 years, if it costs us a whole lot more money, maybe it'll be worth it in the end. But yeah, I don't know. It's
Democrats should be happy that he's doing this, right? You really should be happy that he's doing this.
Yeah, I don't know about that. He can't run again for office, right? So he's going to be out in 4 years no matter what. So maybe a Democrat will have a better chance if inflation is runaway. I don't know.
Yes. Yeah. And can I say one other thing about citizenship? You know, you've been talking about that. You know, I believe the big reason, you know, there is such a divide, you know, is because, you know, one party, you know, does not include God in its platform. And the Republicans talk about God, you know, in their platform. And when you hear them talking, you know, isn't that a big reason, you know, why there's such a divide? You know, one party is for God, and the other party, you know, as Kamala asked the, you know, those two men to leave during her campaign, you know, she said, you go to a different down the road. You know, that's a huge difference. And that's why people are so upset, that there's a group of people that hate God and there's a group of people that want God in our country. Would you agree?
Now, let me ask you this. Why do you say that there is one group that hates God? What makes you say that?
Well, I mean, do you agree that that was happened about a month ago at Kamala's campaign, where she asked the two gentlemen who are, you know, starting to talk about God, yelling out, you know, God's important and we should serve him. And she said, you're in the wrong place. You go down the road, she told the two men, you know, and she never talked about God during her campaign.
Well, we're running out of time. We got to go to a break pretty quick. But one thing I want to mention is that as she was standing there with a mic in her hand, hearing these guys yell at her, she may not even have been aware what they were saying. I don't know for sure. Got to take a quick break. And Jim, thank you for calling. We'll take other calls right after we get back. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Packers, Badgers, Bucks, and Brewers. Find your favorite team over the air on Civic Media.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most, in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The John and Gordy Show.
I went out to the car and I had to scrape ice off my window.
You're kidding.
Do you have a good ice scraper at least?
I have an excellent ice scraper, and thank God it was in the car yet.
I had to use like my credit card to scrape my windshield.
Oh no.
You know what works great is a cassette. What?
You actually used a cassette to hit the ice off your windows?
Yeah.
No. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
Jimmy Cuska said that Wisconsin's official state speed trap is in Rosendale.
Do you get like a souvenir sticker?
A t-shirt? I got pulled over in Rosendale and all I got
no
was this
merch,
lousy
it
ticket.
It can't be official.
If there's no merch, it's not a thing. Troy from Mount Horeb.
There is merch. The original convenience store in Rosendale has a shirt that says Rosendale. That's the ticket.
Now I think we're going to have to do a road trip to Rosendale just to get merch.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Looking for the game? Find us over the air for sports coverage on Civic Media stations.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl today. He will be back on Monday. We have some callers on the line. If you'd like to join us, feel free. The number is 855-752-4842. And we are discussing several topics today. Still discussing citizenship, which we started yesterday, but also discussing the Second Bill of Rights from FDR, also known as the Economic Bill of Rights. And also discussing the vote that took place here in Wisconsin. Wisconsin, the closest state in the nation this time, the most equally divided, in other words. So those are the topics that we're discussing so far. If you have anything you want to add, feel free to call in. Let's go to the phones. We've got Ann in Chippewa Falls. You're up next. What do you have for us today? Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to comment on the last person that called in. He says one party is for God and the other one isn't. Oh, my gosh, I've heard it all. This is divide, 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 and conquer. Government and religion are supposed to be separate. If religion, if people in religion talk politics in their church, then they should pay taxes. You know, and I just have to ask, what does God have to do with inflation? And, you know, why should we all be made to practice one religion? And I feel there's no supreme religion over another, period. I just can't believe people have drank the hook, line, and sinker. They have, Trump has told these people he was going to put tariffs. And everybody knows what happens when you put a tariff on goods. They were worried about eggs being a dollar more. I think they're going to be worried about a lot more than eggs being a dollar more. And that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah, Ann, thank you for calling in. I do agree with you, and it does seem like the one party that promotes God only promotes one God. You know, it seems to be pretty Christian-centric. And there are obviously many other religions, and there are obviously many people who don't practice any religion at all. And what about those people? Wasn't this nation established on the fact that you can pray to whoever you want to, that you can have any religion you want to or no religion at all. That is one of the foundations of the United States. Anne, are you still there?
No. Yeah.
Looks like, go ahead. Do you have anything else you want to add before you go?
Yeah, I just wish people would just stop and think about what they're saying, you know, about one party's for God and the other isn't. That is the most craziest thing I've heard so far. So
all right.
I don't know. People that are Democrats, they're probably feeling the same way, that we are against God.
I think we're the party of helping people.
Voted Democrat, even in my interest.
Yeah, I would agree. I would say that most Democrats are happy to let people worship any God they want to, as long as they don't force it on other people, right?
Exactly.
All right, Ann, thank you for the call. I appreciate the call. Let's go down the list. It looks like Cassandra is next. Good morning, Cassandra. Thank you for calling in. What do you have for us?
Hi, Sue. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to respond to Jim, the caller before Ann. And mm-hmm. I just would really like the members of the Democratic Party to listen to what I'm about to say. I am in my late 50s. I have been voting for the Democratic Party for well over 35 years. And this presidential election, I voted Republican straight down the ticket. And I did so for a variety of reasons. Number one, the border. I am pro-immigration. However, the lawlessness on the border and bringing over a mass migration of migrants into the country and more or less forcing working poor communities to absorb the cost of the migrants through their property taxes, it's just plain wrong. It's just wrong, and the Democratic Party does need to answer for that. But I would just like to say to Jim and others like him who are not pleased with the results, I represent one of the 22% of Blacks who switched from the Democrats and voted Republican. It's not because we are MAGA and we love Donald Trump. Many of us want to see the party reform. And there is no other way to make the party reform until they lose elections. And we understand that there may be some discomfort on our part with some of the policies that the Trump administration may enact, but there has to be reformed. Something that Jim talked about, well, Donald Trump is going to screw up. That may indeed be so, but you need an economic plan. This idea of let's not put any economic plans on the table to improve the lives of working people, and let's just wait for the Republicans to make a mistake so we can get back in office. That's not going to work anymore.
Cassandra, I really appreciate you calling in and expressing your views. That's important. We have to take a break, though. We're at the bottom of the hour. I appreciate the call. You are tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Listen to sports coverage from Mike Clemens on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. Wisconsinites overwhelmingly voted yes on a record number of school funding measures, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That means people across the state are willing to increase their own taxes to fund their schools. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Voters favored a record number, 169 referendums, authorizing a record total of $4.4 billion in new funding for 145 districts. Denise Gomer Hutchison with the Wisconsin Public Education Network says districts are being forced to take their needs to the ballot box to fund gaps between prioritizing students and overdue bills.
The first responsibility of our public schools across the state is to educate children and to take care of the kids and the families that they serve every single day. So that means any available funds that public schools have, they put towards educating children. And so if that means a boiler has to be patched rather than replaced, that's what they're going to do.
Almost half of the state's 421 school districts passed a referendum in April or November. Hutchison blames the state for not adequately funding school priorities, from building maintenance to student mental health services. Regardless of whether taxpayers have children in public schools, she says the focus should be on providing every Wisconsin student with a quality education.
I want their experience in public schools to be as awesome as my 25 and 26-year-olds were.
The study found factors like inflation outpacing the state allocated per student revenue limits, the loss of pandemic aid, and staff competition in tight labor markets, all factors that contributed to the record number of referendums. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
This Civic Media station is currently broadcasting the Packers, Badgers, Brewers, or Bucks over the air. Due to streaming restrictions, we can't provide you the broadcast here. You can find an affiliated station at civicmedia.us to find the game over the air. We'll also have updates on the game and the biggest sports news from Mike Clemens daily on Civic Media stations all across Wisconsin.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it. All right.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
In 1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Meanwhile, I'm still thinking. T-Rex, bang a gong on a Tuesday morning, getting you going. Stu Daniels filling in for Earl from the Earl Ingram Show. And Earl will be back on Monday. If you want to join us on the phone line, feel free. The number is 855-752-4842. And just before the break, we had a call from Cassandra. And I'm glad she called in to express her opinion. Because there were a lot of people, evidently, based on what we're finding out, that voted the way she did. Cassandra said that she's voted for Democrats her entire life until this election. And she decided to vote for Republicans this time. And so she voted for Donald Trump. You know, the fact that he provoked an insurrection to stop the peaceful transfer of power didn't matter. She said she wanted to send a message to the Democrats that they needed to make some changes. The fact that Trump provoked a mob of a few thousand people to attack the United States Capitol, that didn't matter. Over 140 Capitol police officers were injured on that day, some of them very severely, and they've never returned to work. We know about five Capitol police officers who died in the few days after the attack by suicide. It was too much for them to handle. They just wanted out. And we know that a young lady was shot dead, Ashley Babbitt, during that melee because she believed Donald Trump when he said the election was stolen. If I remember correctly, she had a military background. And she believed that the election was stolen and she wasn't going to let that happen. When they broke through the chambers, when they broke through the glass and were entering into the chamber, evidently she tried to crawl through the broken window, and that's when she was shot and her life ended. But to some people, those things didn't matter, and so they still voted for Trump. Even some people who had voted for Democrats their entire life up until this election. So I think it's interesting to hear from those people. You know, what made them vote that way? What changed them? Why did they think that was a better option? It's like, well, let's put Trump back in for 4 years because there's some kind of a problem with the Democrats. Obviously, nobody's perfect. No political party's perfect. But it seems like there's a chance we might be in for a rough ride over these next 4 years, especially if you're not a billionaire. Let's go back to the phone lines. It looks like Charles is calling from Milwaukee. Charles, what do you have for us this morning?
Hey, good morning, Stu. Thank you for taking my call. You know, I listen to the show. It's a great show. And Cassandra, I wish Cassandra would just say she couldn't pull the lever for an educated, qualified Black woman. She comes up with all these excuses of why she didn't vote for the Democratic Party. If I'm correct, the border has been an issue for probably over 35, 40 years. And so for her to point it out to just be the Democrat Party's problem is I don't understand it. James Lankford, one of the most conservative Republicans, worked with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris to put together a border bill that would have helped with immigration issue in this country. Donald Trump got mad and said, oh, no, you guys cannot pass this bill because then I won't have anything to run on. So I wonder right. What does Cassandra have to say about that? I don't buy this that, oh, I couldn't vote. Every time Cassandra calls, she claims she's a Democrat. She bashes the Democratic Party, even Tony Evers. I would like to ask Cassandra, what has the Democratic Party done that's been good? Because from what I know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris brought us back from where Donald Trump had us in a really bad place. Same with Obama.
he brought us back from a really bad place that Bush had us in. So from what I see, Republicans destroy things. Democrats come in and try to fix it, and then they get the blame for fixing it. So I'm confused. Border has been an issue for a long time. It just didn't start because Joe Biden and Kamala Harris took office. Donald Trump decided, Republicans, you cannot pass this border bill because then I don't have anything to run on. And they run on this whole scare tactic. I would like to see what happens if he comes in and he does do this mass deportation. What's going to happen to the jobs that the immigrants came over here and did? Who's going to do those jobs? Who's going to milk the cows? Who's going to tend the farms? Who's going to clean the hotel rooms? Who's going to do the landscaping? We had a mass hailstorm. I live in Oconomowoc. A couple years ago, all the roofs in our area had to be replaced. All the teams we saw were Hispanic teams up on the roofs. So I would like to see who will do those jobs. But great topic this morning, Stu.
Charles, thank you very much for the call. Those are all good points. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. And yeah, you know, one thing I've been thinking about is the fact, and that's a great question that you ask, who is going to do these jobs if we deport 11 million people? Who are going to do the jobs on the farms, in the canning businesses, the meat packing factories, up on the roofs, putting on the new roofs of the buildings? Who's going to do those jobs? Well, some people think that if Trump and the billionaires are successful at destroying the economy and making a much larger gap between the haves and the have-nots, then those jobs may be filled by people who had other types of jobs. If we destroy the Department of Education, get rid of public education, maybe teachers will be milking cows, picking green beans, putting on new roofs. It's hard to even imagine. Charles, thank you again for the call. Let's move on. We got L.A. Tom is back on the line. Tom, what do you got for us this time?
Well, yeah, I just wanted to say that I feel like I'm getting punked by Cassandra. First off, I'm sorry, but she sounds like an elitist woman. Second off, I don't believe she's 50 or mid-50s. I think she's like 65. Third, she was talking about policy. Kamala Harris had a policy for new homeowners. She had a policy for small business owners. She had a policy for pharmaceutical drugs. She had a policy for child care, health care, mortgage, and rent. Rent, no, she was for rent control. So I don't know what the hell they're talking about with her not having policies. I honestly think that, I guess Donald Trump can say he has concepts of a plan, no policy. But because he's a man, he can just get away with that because he's just like a bull in a china cabinet, whereas Kamala Harris had to be absolutely perfect and come out with a plan and a very, very, descriptive plan. And the media and everyone was still saying, where's her plan? And then you got people like Cassandra saying, where's the plan? Are you kidding me? Get educated, people. Stop watching just Fox News and your Facebook feed and your social media, TikTok, and start really learning what the hell it is. Just like what I brought up this morning with FDR's second economic bill of rights, that is a plan. I don't know what the hell world you people are living in, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to sit back and watch as Donald Trump does increase the tariffs, as people do pay 10 times more for eggs, and pay more for their fruits and vegetables. And you know what, Stu? I was actually going to move to Wisconsin because of the fact that that's where I'm originally from this next year. But we put those plans on hold because of the fact of what happened in this election. Because I am not going to live as a gay man. I am not going to live in a state where I could potentially, you know, be rounded up and put in a camp. And I know you all might think that's hyperbolic. It's not. It happened in the 30s and every 100 years, just different characters, obviously. And we need to learn some history because, as the one caller said, with the Smoot, with the tariff act that he talked about, the Smoot Trump, I can't remember what it was called.
Smoot-Hawley, is that what it is?
Yeah, it's Smoot-Hawley. Smoot-Hawley, which is basically just happening again. And people don't study history, so I guess we have to repeat it again. This time we're not going to repeat it in Germany. This time we're going to repeat it right here in the United States. So get ready, people. You voted for this. And Cassandra, I'm sorry it didn't fit your sensibilities. And sorry to the other guy that said, apparently when someone interrupts a speech, that's supposed to be cool. I thought we in Wisconsin learned that when someone's speaking at a rally, you shut the hell up and you let the person speak. I don't care if they say Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what? You shut up and you listen to the person give a speech, and then you, it's your turn, you get up and give a speech. So don't give me the stuff, oh, Kamala Harris didn't like God. Are you freaking kidding me? Grow up, people. Seriously, you all are living in this dream world. Just admit that you're a Trumper, that you love Trump. Apparently, some want him to grab them by their private parts. I don't know if they get off on that or what, but I'll tell you what. You people are going to be in for awakening of hurt. We are moving towards a Handmaid's Tale. For every white woman out there that voted for, and I know people in this viewing audience didn't, but for the women that did, unbelievable. I mean, you have had two competent women, white women, or women, for candidates, and you have basically not voted for either one of them. You have voted more in favor of Donald Trump. So, like I said, I just can't believe what I'm hearing when I hear people call up and say, she didn't have a plan, and that we're going to teach the Democrats a lesson. Well, you know what? You're going to get your lesson, all right. Your lesson's coming straight at your face, and I hope that you're used to it, Cassandra, because this is what's coming. Even though I believe you are through and throughout Republican, and Charles is absolutely right about, well, pretty much everything he says every day because he's incredible. But and Ann is absolutely right about the situation with Democrats and one party not liking God and one party not. Or first off, I'm a Christian. And you know what? Christian means following in the footsteps of Christ. I don't call them the Christian nationalists. I call them the anti-Christian nationalists because that's exactly what they are. Sue, you are the best. I appreciate you. And I hope you fill in every time for Earl because you knock it out of the ballpark. And your calm demeanor and all of that and listening to people is definitely to be acknowledged. So thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for the kind words, and thank you for everything you had to say, as usual. Lots of great points. And I do think it's important to hear out people like Cassandra, to listen to what they have to say so we can learn from it. We got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show.
Covering the games and biggest sports news, listen daily to Mike Clemens on Civic Media.
The John and Gordy Show.
Look who's here. It's Mike McCabe.
Look at the patterns of history, because it's important to realize that this has been cyclical and that we have seen the loss of sort of a we society and the emergence of a me society. And,
right.
And how could that be better manifested than having a certifiable narcissist in the White House? We've gone through these periods before. Light has been found at the end of the tunnel.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We're airing a game right now, but stay here on the stream for more Civic Media news, talk, and more.
Welcome back in to the Earl Ingram Show on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Earl. This is our last segment of the show today. I'll be back tomorrow. And then Earl will be back on Monday. You can look forward to that. And we've been discussing several topics today. We've got more phone calls to take. And a couple of our astute callers mentioned the Smoot-Hawley Tariff Act, passed in 1930. Many people say it really held us back for a time, at least, just as the Great Depression was kicking in. And, of course, it was FDR who ran for president in 1932 and the Democrats who said that they were going to get rid of these tariffs. And in fact, when this Smoot-Hawley tariff bill was being proposed, evidently, according to what I'm looking at here, several major business leaders in the United States went to the White House to try to talk President Hoover out of these tariffs. Among them, the Henry Ford went to the White House and practically begged the president, President Hoover, to veto the bill. His words, this is a quote, he called it an economic stupidity. Also, the chief executive of J.P. Morgan, Thomas Lamont, said he, quote, almost went down on his knees to beg Herbert Hoover to veto the asinine Hawley-Smoot tariff. So here we are again in 2024, faced with the prospect of tariffs, some big ones this time, 25% for goods from Canada and Mexico, our two biggest trading partners. Let's go back to the phones and see what you have to say. The phone line, the phone number, by the way, is 855-752-4842. And by the way, if you want to send me an email message, you can do so. My email address is stumanradio@gmail.com. Stu, in this case, is spelled S-T-U. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Tom and Jackson on the line. Good morning, Tom. Thank you for calling. What do you have for us today?
Hi, Stu. Thanks for putting me on the air.
Yeah, what's your opinion?
Well, I'm glad to hear you on the air again. I wish you'd have a shore or something like that. My point is that, and it's not been brought up much, but I vote Democrat, and my mind has been changed towards Democrats since Scott Walker. But one flaw that they have, that if they improve this, I think they would be more likely to win elections. And that is most of my friends and family are pro-life, and they vote on that one issue, even though they know, many of them, that other issues are not in their best interest. And the Democrats would do well to be more pro-life, and especially pro-adoption. And I think if they swing that way instead of being, you know, pro-abortion, they would have more votes and win. And I think that that's an issue that if they could, at least be more in the middle, I think it'd be good for the whole country, because, they're looked at as being, pro-death and all that, like that person called in earlier, when Kamala was talking and stuff like that. And, I think she's a good person, and she's probably, a Christian and stuff like that. But a lot of people think that, the Democrats are not, Christian and good people. And I think if they're at least, meet the Republicans, somewhere in the middle, I think that would change. I really do. And I think that's something that's a real cause for the, for what happened and the loss. And I think that it's not being talked about enough. That one other thing too is that with 50 million abortions since 73, I think there's a lot of women, especially older women, who feel guilt, and that they didn't come out and vote the way they should have, because really the Democrats didn't come out the way they should have, because the Republican vote was about the same as in 2020. But a lot of Democrats didn't vote, and especially women, I think, didn't vote because they feel guilty about what had happened in their past.
Okay.
I don't know what you think, though.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the call. I appreciate your views. Thank you for calling in. We're almost out of time here. One thing I guess I should say is that I personally, as a man, I often avoid the topic of abortion when I'm on the radio. Sometimes I feel like, my voice isn't as important just because I am a man. And I know that a lot of women look at the availability of abortion as women's health care. You know, not every pregnancy goes perfect. Sometimes things don't go well. And not every abortion is by choice. So do we have to take the availability of abortion away from women who are going to be bleeding out in the parking lot of the hospital because the doctors won't see them? Maybe the government should just stay out of women's health care. I don't know. And the other thing, sometimes people call me simplistic, but I always go back to the fact that there's one party that looks out for the people, and there's one party that looks out for the billionaires. Which side do you want to be on? Hey, thanks for tuning in today. I'll be back tomorrow filling in for Earl. I hope you have a great day. You're tuned in to the Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the free Civic Media app today at civicmedia.us.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
This is Civic Media, bringing you news, talk, and community-minded conversations all across Wisconsin. You can find us at civicmedia.us and download the app for free today.